Dear brothers and sisters, last week we looked at Jesus' thoughts and inner heart. Jesus was full of truth, goodness, and love in his thoughts and heart, no matter the time, place, or situation. As you listened to the word, did you make any resolutions to make the great image of the Lord the standard of how to live life? If you have made a decision to press forwards, then you'll always reflect on your thoughts and heart. But our thoughts and heart are not easily revealed outwardly. It becomes easy to dismiss or quickly pass over fleshly thoughts or thoughts that aren't good by thinking it's not like you committed great sin or evil. Even if evil thoughts arise, it's easy to rationalize them by thinking that it is because of the current circumstances. But sometimes you don't realize that these evil thoughts are actually evil. Some people that don't live in the truth at all, they don't realize that the evil within them is actually evil because they don't know how to discern between truth and evil. If someone hates you or someone talks bad about you, you think about all the bad thoughts, the evil thoughts regarding that situation, or you feel upset regarding the other person because they're speaking bad about you. And then you wish for the other person to, you know, to not do as well, to make things go wrong in their lives. You want to repay them with evil and curse them. And when people do that, worldly people think this is the right thing. This is something I can do. However, if you listen to the truth, our Mammy members who listen to the truth, we must always reflect on our thoughts and our heart and discern between what is truth and what is not untruth. Discern between whether this is evil or not. And don't just think that because you're not showing the evil through actions, that it's not actually evil. The evil within our hearts is also evil and part of sin. Even if the judgment, the condemnations, and all the words that don't come out of our mouths but are within our bodies, within our hearts, consider them sin and evil as well. So the thoughts that you have, you must always reflect upon them so that you can resemble the Lord's beautiful heart. If you desire to be the beautiful bride of the Lord, you must strive to discover evil and seek change by using goodness and truth as the standard, even for momentary thoughts and feelings. Today we'll look at the ears, eyes, mouth, and attitude of Jesus. May today's word serve as a mirror and reflect back our shortcomings so that we may quickly correct it and become Christians fully conformed to the image of the Lord. So what did the eyes of Jesus see? He always focused on the souls, lifted his eyes up toward heaven, and his gaze was filled with goodness and love. First, the eyes of Jesus were eyes of compassion for the souls. Matthew 9, verse 36. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew 14, verse 14. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. When Jesus traveled, large crowds gathered from many villages. So when Jesus visited those villages, and not just the villages that he visited, but on the way as well, many crowds gathered. But Jesus didn't become proud or boastful by thinking that the people had gathered in great numbers to see him, nor did he desire to become their king. Instead, with love and compassion, Jesus healed the sick and fed them spiritual words. would just, he felt compassion and was merciful for all the people that were poor and didn't have a lot to eat, fed them spiritual words and healed the people who were sick. With just a small amount of bread and a few fish, Jesus gave thanks and distributed them, feeding not only the women and children, but also 4,000 to 5,000 hungry men. So if we think about 4,000 to 5,000 hungry men, they're about ages from 20 to 60. There would have been people younger than 20 and over the ages of 60. And also women and children. If you consider all of those people combined, it would be way over 4,000 and 5,000 people. Mark 8 verses 1 to 3. In those days when there was again a large crowd and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples and said to him, I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from a great distance. Though Jesus is the Son of God and performs great miracles, we can see that his love, his heart of love and service extended to the point of providing food for the people and caring for their needs. Generally, those who have wealth, honor, power and recognition, they tend to look down on or disregard people who are poorer or have less. They don't feel other people's pain. This is because their eyes are filled with a desire to see and take hold of the better and more splendid things of the world. But the eyes of the Lord looked upon the sick, the poor, and the destitute souls, and he embraced them in his heart. It wasn't just a fleeting thought of, you know, feeling compassion for the sick and then forgetting about them. Jesus always thought about them. If you think about parents or teachers who cultivate children, who allow the children to grow with them, have a heart that that devotes themselves with love to the children so that they can grow well. But Jesus had a heart of love not just towards children, but all people, whether they were sick, whether they were poor, whether they were rich, whether they had power. Jesus had compassion with them and could feel their hearts, not just through his eyes, but the eyes that came from the heart. The heart of compassion, the heart of mercy that was shown through the eyes of love that Jesus had. It wasn't just a fleeting, you know, thought of compassion that Jesus had. Jesus always had a heart of compassion for all peoples, fed them spiritual words and opened the way of salvation. What kind of eyes do you use to look at people? Do you look at people who are respectful and possess good things with eyes of respect, but ignore and look down on those who seem poor and insignificant? Are there any signs of hatred or evil, like eyes filled with judgment or disdain? Our eyes must be like the eyes of the Lord, filled with compassion for all people, treating all with love and warmth. If you look at the world, let's look at how people live and what kind of eyes they live with. You need to be able to discern in the world, especially if you think about politicians and politics. It's very hasty. It's up and down at the moment. And then you can see that the citizens of that country where politics is up and down, you can see that the eyes of the citizens are also not at peace. We need to be able to have eyes of peace. However, those citizens don't have those eyes where they try and do well and do better for the country. However, the citizens, they just try and blame other people and try and destroy other people for their faults. We should be able to have eyes where we can learn from our mistakes so that those mistakes don't happen again for the better of the country, for the good of the country. However, the people of the world don't do that. So we need to be able to discern our eyes, our mouth, our ears in the world as well. If there are any members who are in politics, may you be like the salt and light of the world and bring forth light in for the world. Wherever you are, don't think that you can't change the world by yourself. The world can change from you. It can start from you. It can start from one person. So instead of looking at the world or looking with your eyes with, you know, anger, with judgment or condemnation or criticism, have the eyes of love. Have the eyes of peace. Jesus always lifted up his eyes to heaven. This shows that he had eyes of faith, trusting and relying on God. When Jesus prayed to raise Lazarus from the dead, he lifted his eyes to heaven and prayed. When Jesus performed the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fish, Matthew 14 verse 19, he looked up to heaven and gave thanks. When Jesus healed the man who was deaf and mute, Mark 7:34, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And Jesus prayed, looking up to heaven. John 17 verse 1, Jesus spoke these things, and lifting his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. And there are many instances recorded where Jesus looked up to heaven and prayed. By always looking up to God the Father who is in heaven, Jesus showed that the signs and wonders he manifested came from God. Jesus often spoke to his disciples and the people about Father God in heaven and the heavenly kingdom. Jesus wanted the people to not only focus on life on earth, but also have spiritual eyes to see the life of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 10 verse 23, Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. This meant that it was a blessing to have eyes that can see God's power in heaven, while on earth, and be able to look at the life of the kingdom of heaven with faith. Jesus, I hope that you would also have eyes similar to Jesus, even if the reality in front of you is deplorable, even if the reality is about to crumble, have eyes of faith. You might think, you know, reality is hard if you were to do it by yourself. However, we've got Father God who created mankind. If we come before Father God, we can overcome the world. If we hadn't come before God before, then come before God now. Start from now. Begin from now. Rely and trust in God. Look up towards heaven. Trust in God. If you had always relied on yourself or just the environment or the people around you, then lift up your eyes to heaven. Lift up your eyes to Father God who is in heaven. Rely on Him and rely on the Bible that was written by God. When you live according to Father God's will, according to His providence, and you'll be able to feel that God works and gives answers and resolves problems. In the world, you've got all sorts of things happening. You can see it in the news. The world is going up in flames. And if you have eyes only for the world, only for reality, then you don't have eyes for God. Do you look up towards heaven? Do you look up towards the sky? And when you do so, when you look at the rainbows and when you look at the clouds moving, that's great. However, you also need to think of Father God and Father God's works and the help that Father God gives you. You need to put in the effort to think about God, not just look at the sky. This can become great faith for you. May we resemble Jesus. Jesus' public ministry. Within those 3 years, Jesus received lots of persecution despite knowing that he had an end of crucifixion. However, for the glory of God, and Jesus continuously thought of the glory of God and accomplished God's will, we need to do the same. Jesus had spiritual eyes. Jesus viewed others through the lens of faith and always glorified God and had faith that will accomplish the providence of God. And not only that, but Jesus had eyes of faith that looked at the people as well. Even though the Jews avoided the Gentiles or treated sinners with contempt, Jesus looked at their hearts and their inner character, healing and meeting them. Jesus foresaw the repentance of Zacchaeus and entered his house to offer salvation. Jesus saw the sincerity of the heart of the poor widow who placed 2 small copper coins, and he commended her. Last week, I explained Jesus' thoughts and inner heart using the examples of the widow and Zacchaeus. So then, why am I using the same parables to explain Jesus' eyes? What and how a person sees and what a person thinks are stored in the heart, coming out through words and actions. It's because the eyes, thoughts, heart, and actions are connected. Even when the disciples had little faith, Jesus saw the potential for their transformation in the future. Jesus saw everything through truth, love, compassion, and goodness. Whatever Jesus saw, he looked beyond the outward appearance to find the spiritual meanings. Fourth, let's consider Jesus' ears. The wicked ones often spoke ill of Jesus, saying words like, he has a demon, he is possessed by Beelzebul, he is doing the work of Satan. But Jesus discerned these words and clearly separated what to listen and what to reject according to the truth. Jesus did not let his heart be hurt, discouraged, or troubled by words. Today, you know, we'll finish the sermon on Jesus' eyes and ears and mouth. And we can put those words and reflect that upon our lives as well. But now as well, you need to use these words to reflect in your daily lives, in your workplaces, in your family lives. Our ears are open. You know, there are words that even if we don't want to hear them, we end up hearing them. And there are people around us that tell us things that we don't want to hear, but we end up hearing. And then, you know, we easily sometimes condemn or judge. It's just a waste of energy. If we think about myself, you know, when I had my own trials as well, if we think and hear all those words that are discouraging to yourself, and I keep that in my heart, then you would end up hating people around you. You would feel down. Of course, around me, I didn't have anyone that would, you know, share words that would discourage me or have hateful words or, you know, spread rumors because I didn't keep company with them. And when you think about rumors, what one of the easiest rumors or words that were shared was, Senior Pastor Lee said this, or Senior Pastor Lee said to do this. But in reality, I didn't even speak to that person. Or some people would say, oh, I'm telling you this story because you need to know this. However, it's not something that we really need to know. The situation's not going to get better if I know all the hateful words or all the bad things that other people say about me. However, you know, if we think about what's the point of knowing other people's condemnations and judgments and hateful words about me? Would I say it on the altar during a service? No. So it doesn't give me any benefits. So I would block all the bad words or thoughts or rumors going around about me. It makes my heart feel better. And we need to think about our connections with other people as well, our relationships. You know, people that spend all their energy spreading rumors and telling people all these bad words and bad stories. We need to have a heart of mercy when we see people that do that. Don't discourage yourself. Don't be discouraged when you hear hateful words. Have a heart of goodness. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Jesus didn't store evil words in his heart. He only listened with truth. Instead of debating or arguing, Jesus accepted with goodness. Did Jesus only hear and think with goodness and then suffer unjustly? No. Goodness always overcomes evil. When we act in goodness, the enemy devil will flee before you 7 ways, and God works together with us to bring about good. Jesus didn't listen to evil words, nor did he fight against evil. He taught with goodness to help transform the wicked people. When Jesus was eating at the house of Matthew the tax collector with other tax collectors and sinners, the Pharisees asked with an evil heart, why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners? But Jesus didn't respond evil with evil. He said in Mark 2 verse 17, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus used the truth to wake them up. Usually when someone hears hurtful words, they get upset and respond with equally hurtful or evil words or speak emotionally, needing to correct the other person. But Jesus didn't respond in this way. The Pharisees sought to accuse Jesus on the Sabbath through the man with the withered hand. But how did he teach them? Matthew 12, verses 11 to 12. What man is there among you who has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And Jesus restored the man's hand. No matter how much the Pharisees tried to trap him with their arguments, Jesus' ears only heard goodness. So Jesus was able to enlighten them with truth. Then you might think, how do you listen in goodness if someone speaks bad about you? Then think about why the other person would think bad about you. Is it something that you've done? You know, did you say something that the other person didn't like? Were there actions that insulted the other person? You need to reflect upon yourself. Sometimes when you say words that insult the other person, you don't realize. You need to actually reflect and think, you know, do these words actually benefit the other person? Is it out of love? Or is it because you wanted to insult them and you wanted to kind of pierce them with sharp words? If there are words that the other person doesn't like, then don't say it. Then you might ask, how am I supposed to help transform the other person? You can't. Only God can. You know, sometimes the children that you give birth to, you can't change them. Then how are you supposed to change other people that are not part of your bloodline? It doesn't mean that you ignore them and don't care about them or don't give words of love. It's when you say words with out uncomfortable feelings in your heart that they can be transformed. You need to be able to reflect on your words, whether you spoke words of goodness, whether you spoke words of love. Then you can overcome the fleshly feelings. If you, you know, get hurt or feel hurt because of other people, then you need to think about whether this is full of goodness or not. It's not a connection of goodness or a relationship of goodness. So even if someone else tells you bad words about you, then reflect upon yourself. Reflect on yourself and check yourself as to whether you have done something bad to the other person first. Then you'll be able to open your heart and embrace more people and become great workers of God. We can't live our lives with just good words. It doesn't mean completely ignore and block all the bad words. You know, sometimes you'll hear words that pierce you and, you know, sharp words you'll hear. However, you need to be able to use that to transform yourself and not discourage yourself. Jesus did not give in to fleshly emotions, but discerned and acted according to the truth. This is evidenced when Jesus fasted for 40 days and then was tempted 3 times. Matthew 4 verse 3. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Matthew 4, 8 to 9. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me." This may sound like a statement beneficial to Jesus, but Jesus didn't fall into temptation. He perfectly discerned with the word of God and successfully overcame temptation. So the first temptation, command that these stones become bread. You know, with God's power as the Son of God, you know, it could be a chance for Jesus to show Satan the power of God. And that's why Satan tempted Jesus, to try and persuade him. However, Jesus didn't have any greed to, you know, boast about himself or to overcome God. So that's why Jesus didn't stumble over Satan's words. Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And in verse 10, then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." We must also be able to hear accurately and discern only with truth, just like Jesus. When others praise us or try to flatter us with enticing words, we may fall into temptation if we're not careful. In South Korea, there's a saying, having thin ears. It refers to someone easily influenced or influenced by others or believes other people. These people can easily be swayed and deceived by untrue words and become corrupted by the flesh. We can use Eve as an example from the Bible. Eve failed to guard her heart and ears. She listened to the cunning deceit of the serpent who altered God's word and led Eve to commit a great sin of eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, "If you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die." But after a very long time, Eve didn't keep those words in her heart. So Satan, the serpent, deceived her by saying, "You will surely not die." So why did the serpent do that? Because the serpent looked for a chance where Eve didn't guard her heart and to find his way through. If you don't stand firm in truth, then you can stumble. The heart moves with untruth. And then in the end, just like evil, you would eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We must not turn into foolish people who are easily swayed by the enticing words of the world. The Jesus that we must strive to resemble had ears that could hear everything and turn it into truth. Same thing with Jesus' words. They were free from evil. He was able to enlighten others with words of truth and goodness. So may our ears also resemble Jesus and hear only good words. Even if bad words are heard, may we have spiritual ears that can transform them into truth. Even if you hear bad rumors, and even if people, you know, spread rumors and end up telling you as well, don't listen to that and put that into your heart. Even if it's the truth. If it's the truth, does it not, you know, is it not considered rumors? It still is, because you're spreading bad words about other people. So you need to be able to filter all the bad words with your ears, transform them into truth. If you've heard them, that's fine, but don't keep them in your heart. Then it won't change into judgment and condemnation within yourself. In these end times, in these times of evil, so many rumors, so many bad words are about, but we can transform ourselves as the bride of Jesus. Fifth, what was Jesus' mouth like? The words from his lips were also words of goodness, love, and truth. He didn't speak unnecessary or unprofitable words, nor did he speak many words. Jesus' mouth only spoke words that gave life and brought glory to God. With his gentle and compassionate character, Jesus wisely taught spiritual truths through parables to help others understand. He didn't repay evil with evil, but spoke words only of truth and goodness. In their attempt to trap him, the scribes and Pharisees tested Jesus with multiple questions. Every time Jesus knew of their evil intentions, but never responded with harsh words or arguments. This was because Jesus had no feelings of hatred or discomfort toward them. You know, from the heart is what your words come out with. All the words that come out of your mouth are from your heart. And so, you know, you'll see that most of the time you might speak words of goodness, but then instantly you might have words of hatred or discomfort that come out. And that is your real position, your real heart. Jesus spoke words that were good and wise to help them understand the true will of God. And then when they couldn't be enlightened, Jesus didn't argue or dispute. Instead, he just withdrew quietly. When Jesus was arrested to fulfill the plan of salvation on the cross and questioned at the court, what did he do? Though Jesus had no sin, he didn't offer any defense or argument. Jesus only spoke a few words to make them understand the will of his Father. Even when given the opportunity to argue, Jesus said nothing. While suffering unjustly, Jesus didn't argue with anyone. Instead, he prayed a prayer of intercession in love, seeking to fully accomplish the will of Father God. The words Jesus spoke were sweet and profound, profound words of life that gave grace, new strength, hope, and inspiration. But this doesn't mean that Jesus only spoke words pleasing to the ear. He also spoke words like a sharp sword, which could change and awaken the hearts of many. Every word that flowed from Jesus' mouth was life-giving, beneficial, and salvation to the soul. What about the words of those with evil hearts, like the priests and Pharisees? Even after witnessing the good work of Jesus, their words were full of criticism, judgment, and condemnation and falsehood. They were words that killed others, that destroyed others. We need to make efforts to resemble the Lord's mouth, to have a mouth that praises and speaks positively, a mouth that worships, praises, praise and glorifies God, a mouth that evangelizes, spreads life, sows faith, and shares good news. We must also be careful, as Proverbs 10:19 says, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. When we speak too much, mistakes happen. Making jokes or unnecessary remarks is also not helpful, but dishonest. We must also always speak good words. When we do, then all our prayers will be answered quickly. Finally, what was Jesus' attitude like? Matthew 12:19-21 shows us Jesus' demeanor. He did not break a bruised reed nor put out a smoldering wick. Jesus did not quarrel or cry out, nor did anyone hear his voice in the streets. This shows how flawless and perfect Jesus was in his walk, posture, and speech. In other words, Jesus was truly a man of great refinement and dignity. Though Jesus, the Son of God, possessed great power, he never looked down or treated others with disdain, not even the little children. Matthew 18, verse 10, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven." What does this mean? It means that the people that, you know, you despise, those angels, the angels of those people that you despise or look down on, the angels report to Father God. It doesn't mean that you're face-to-face with the angels. It means that the angels report everything to Father God. All the people that you despise or look down on or treat others with disdain, the angels report that to God. You need to follow and resemble God's goodness, Jesus' goodness that embraces everyone. In John 4, verses 5-9, Jesus stopped in the town of Sychar in Samaria while on his way to evangelize. Jesus asked a Samaritan woman for a drink of water. The woman was very surprised, knowing that Jews do not associate with Samaritans. From the scene, we can see that Jesus did not look down on anyone. Even if they were little children, Jesus embraced them and considered them greatly. Jesus served everyone with his focus always directed toward evangelizing and bringing glory to God. In the winter in Korea, there are many church workers, church leaders that evangelize even in this cold winter. And even though I, you know, do tell them, refrain from evangelizing too much when it's too cold, they actually tell me that they're so happy, that they're full of joy when they evangelize, even if it's freezing cold. It's not like we pay them. It's not like we give them pocket money for them to evangelize. But when they evangelize, the Holy Spirit within them, it's full of happiness. So it's just like Jesus' footsteps, full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' public ministry of 3 years was full of how to evangelize people, how to lead them to heaven. Jesus, you know, slept less in order to live for the people. In John 13, verses 4-5, we see Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. Because of the dry and dusty conditions in Israel, Jews had the custom of having guests' feet washed. But these tasks were usually done by servants. But Jesus, the teacher, personally washed the feet of the disciples. When he did, Peter, the disciples, felt embarrassed and said, "Never shall you wash my feet." Peter said so because custom and manner dictates that it's unthinkable for a teacher to wash the feet of a disciple. The reason Jesus washed the disciples' feet was to teach them the type of mindset and attitude they should have when proclaiming the resurrection of the Lord and spreading the gospel in the future. But it doesn't mean that you don't think wrong of Jesus' attitude. You do need to realize that as people who are in a higher situation, for example, at work or at church, you need to get rid of thoughts that you need to receive all the serving, that people need to follow you. You need to follow the rules and serve each other. Jesus followed God's words as well, God's laws. If you think about the situation in the Bible, Peter, the disciples, gave the bread first to Jesus. The disciples didn't eat the bread first. There is always a process in the spiritual realm. There's always a process in heaven as well. And if that falls, then you cannot have true peace. You must follow the way. However, when Jesus walked the way of the cross, Jesus wanted to show the disciples the attitude and mindset that they needed to have when proclaiming the gospel, which is why that Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. So you need to think of all this, the heart of servitude, the heart of devotion for other people. Don't completely get rid of the order between And Jesus taught with words and demonstrated a beautiful and good attitude in all that he did. Many who encountered Jesus loved him so deeply that they gave their lives in devotion, service, and loyalty. When we resemble the Lord's beautiful and gracious character, we can become the light and salt of the world and be called true children of God. Dear brothers and sisters, today and last week, we used Jesus as an example to look at the six fields of the deeds of the body a person must control. Jesus' conduct was flawless, no blemish or wrong. He is the perfect example for us. It was clear that Jesus' conduct came from an inner being full of great goodness, humility, and spiritual love. The love and action of Jesus had amazing power to transform people's hearts. When Jesus was arrested for his crucifixion, many disciples fled and Peter became fearful enough to deny knowing Jesus. Peter's denial of Jesus for the third time is written in Luke 22, verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. What was the heart, thought, and gaze of Jesus in that moment? Though Peter was one of his first disciples, he abandoned Jesus and fled, denying Jesus. So was Jesus' gaze full of resentment, hatred, and disappointment? No. With eyes full of compassion, mercy, and love, Jesus looked at Peter, knowing that Peter would deny him. His gaze was one full of forgiveness, love, and mercy that gave Peter the strength and courage to rise again. With the Lord's love, Peter wept bitterly and repented. He later became a disciple who gave his life wholeheartedly for the Lord. Even now, our Lord looks at all of us with the same eyes and heart full of love. If we understand and give thanks for that love from the bottom of our hearts, we can also become true children who resemble the Lord. Always think, what would Jesus do? And as you transform yourself, I pray in the name of the Lord that you'll receive the praise of being beautiful without any flaws from our loving Lord.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father, God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.